She's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies.
Good morning and welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you every Saturday morning by Autoflex Leasing. I'm David Blassingame. I'm being joined by my co-host, Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
And our watch over and our board op and the guy that keeps us out of trouble, we hope, JP. I can't say the snuggle monster, buddy. I can't do that. I can't hear you either.
Uh-oh. There was a plan for that.
Yeah, there was, but it didn't work. So, anyway, hey, Sybil will not be with us this morning. She's a little under the weather, but we'll look forward to having her back again next Saturday. If you wish to join us on the air, you can do that by calling in 877-881-1053, or you can use the Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733 to give us your opinion or chime in on what you're thinking about. Now, if you're in the market for a car, you should call
972 or 817-234-1234. You can also reach us on the web, autoflex.com.
For those of you who are telephonically challenged,
or right, for this those morning, of you who just don't want to talk on the phone.
That could be it, yeah. More and more people text rather than calling. So, hey, we're going to talk. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We had a plan.
Yes.
So, first up, we're going to be talking about Volkswagen, Audi. They admit cheating device was installed on their diesels. You'll want to hear about this. We'll talk about the best and worst three-row vehicles and the 10 undervalued cars that are suddenly skyrocketing in price and why.
Yeah, you know, I think out of those, because the first section of the show, we're just going to talk about scandals, basically. This is crazy. Volkswagen has admitted to installing a defeat device in their Volkswagen diesels and Audi diesels, 482,000 of them, that is designed to beat the EPA's pollution tests. And this is how it works. And this is crazy, folks. They installed an algorithm in the software of the car that measures when the EPA or when a service station or
an emissions test is being performed.
When you plug it in, it turns on all the emissions equipment. And the emissions equipment works like it's supposed to. And it takes all those nitrous oxide, all those bad gas, all the bad stuff out. As soon as they unplug the EPA, all of the emissions equipment stops. And the car begins polluting at a rate of, they say, about 40 times the allowed amount of emissions coming out of the car. This is totally crazy. I've never seen anything like this. This was done by a manufacturer specifically to pass EPA tests. And, of course, when
in the United States,
especially in California,
right.
It was the California Air Resource Board that actually discovered this. And they're tough out there on emissions. And so it was designed to beat the emissions test very, very specifically. And they have admitted doing it. It affects 2009 through 15 model VW Jettas, Beetles, Golfs, and Audi A3 diesels. And these are all the 2.0 turbo diesels. And the 2014 and 15 model year VW Passat diesels, 2.0 turbos. Now, here's the thing. Volkswagen had been advertising their diesels as the clean machine. In fact, Consumer Reports rated them the cleanest diesel on the road in 2009. They didn't know that the software had been tampered with so that it was fooling the machines. Volkswagen actually said, "It became clear that they would not approve our certificates for conformity before the 2016 model year, and we couldn't explain the anomalous emissions and ensure the agencies would give us the certification." So they decided...
Break that down into layman's terms.
Okay, they figured out they couldn't pass the test like it was.
Yeah.
So they decided to put this in so that it would pass the EPA test. Now, here's the biggie. Mm-hmm. They're coming out with a new Passat for 2016. There's going to be diesels. They're going to want to advertise these diesels. It's going to be a problem. Here's the other thing. They could be fined $37,000 per car.
And should be.
That's $18 billion.
And should be. GM's paying their fines. Toyota paid their fines. I'm disgusted. Trust no one.
Well, anyway, that's the story with Volkswagen. And since you brought up GM, here's the other story. This last week, GM agreed to pay $900 million to settle with the Department of Justice for covering up the ignition switch problems they had that have been responsible for 124 deaths.
Disgusted.
Yeah. Well, and so here's the thing. They have agreed to this $900 million settlement in order to stop criminal prosecutions. Mm-hmm. So basically, they bought their way out. I mean, that's how they did it. They have an obligation for the next 3 years to have third-party judges come in and look at what they're doing and make sure they're complying and all that stuff. But the bottom line is they paid $900 million to get out of individual prosecution. Now, the Department of Justice said that individual prosecution is very, very difficult in this case because of what they call siloing.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate siloing is when only certain people in your group know about certain things on the car. So it keeps the information from being widely distributed so no one can be held totally responsible for a terrible omission like this of the fact that they had a serious safety defect and they were asked about it and they didn't tell the truth.
I'm sure every large company silos. I have a feeling every huge company, because things can go wrong and then it can be across the board, I'm sure they all silo. Banks, investment firms.
Well, you know, we're a very litigious society and mm-hmm. people like to sue people. And this sort of puts them in a position where it would really, really be hard to localize someone that knew everything and say, you knew everything and you didn't report it. Now, it is against the law for a corporation to intentionally withhold information that has to do with a safety concern for an automotive company. So it is against the law, but the way they're structured, no one knew everything.
Disgusting.
So $900 million later, and GM is no longer subject to criminal prosecution. Now, they also set up a $500 million fund to pay the victims of the wrecks that occurred due to this. And this whole thing goes back to they were building cars that had faulty ignition switches. If there was weight on the key, it could cause the ignition to go off. If the ignition goes off, the power steering stops working, the power brakes stop working, and you don't get deployment of airbags. So if you have an accident, it's just you and the steering wheel and the windshield.
I've got one thing to say about that. Dad, you were right. I needed to take all that junk off my keychain. He always told me,
You're right.
You only need your car key on this keychain for your car. This is not good for the ignition switch. He was right, especially if I'd been driving one of those GM cars.
Now, GM did dismiss 15 engineers and other personnel at the beginning of this operation, and those people have been fired. They're no longer in their positions. So they probably could not be called as part of this investigation. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, I think it's done. I think it's over with, which is sort of interesting in the way that it worked out. There was a lot of comments after the story. These stories were in Automotive News this week, which is sort of the Pravda of the automotive business. It's the manufacturer's magazine, basically. And there was a lot of comment about, you know, this is how our system works. If you have enough money, you can avoid prosecution for doing almost anything. And
Just ask Ray Donovan.
In this case, it almost worked out for those people that have Showtime. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, did not World War II teach you anything?
Right.
I don't know that you can draw a direct correlation between Volkswagen and World War II, but although Volkswagen was begun prior to World War II by the leader of Germany at the time. Called the people's vehicle. That's
okay,
what Volkswagen
means.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just, executives now are making these decisions, which is, I don't know. Trust no one, really. Here's the deal. Drive carefully. Don't have a wreck, because you can't count on those airbags and the ignition switch, and you can't count on anything else, apparently. As far as emissions, I don't know what to tell you. I guess I'll just try to conserve other places.
All right. We're about to take a break, but when we come back,
we will talk about the best and worst three-row vehicles. And we'll get to the 10 undervalued cars that are suddenly skyrocketing in price.
There we go.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
Consumer.
Okay, one of the most common questions we get asked is about third row vehicles. And it usually starts off like this. What vehicles have a third row? A lot of people need third rows, and that's and because they got kids, they got soccer games. I know Tammy's dealt with that a lot because a lot of soccer moms.
Well, everybody's also planning to carpool, you know, so that's another reason. Even if you only have one kid, A, they've got 14 friends, or B, you're going to carpool so that you don't have to take your kid every day.
Or you got soccer team, you know, or you got the baseball
or
team.
Or the family road trip and so forth. So yeah, they are very popular. We have tons of requests for a third row vehicle. Some of our families have two of them, and some have the sports car and then the SUV to carry everything around.
Well, and so here's the thing. Some of them are actually better than others. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Now, when I think of third row vehicles, the very first vehicle that comes to mind for me is a Chevrolet Suburban.
Ditto.
And it's sort of like the first third row vehicle. It sits on a Chevrolet half-ton truck frame, so it's the same size as a Chevrolet pickup truck. And it carries comfortably 9 people. And you got storage room behind it.
Right.
So it's a true third row 9-person vehicle. And in the third row, you can set adults back there if you want to. The seat flops up, gets out of the way in the second row. Now, a lot of Suburbans are 8-passenger seating.
Because of the buckets in the front.
Exactly. And sometimes 7-passenger seating because of 2 sets of buckets.
Right, right.
And a lot of people really, really want that second set of buckets because it's they don't. Easier. Yeah, and it's easier to get in the third row.
Right.
I mean, a lot, because you just go between them.
And what I really love is that the third row does fold flat and up forward, so you don't have to take the seats out anymore in order to have that extra storage in the back.
Exactly.
That so many people are looking for when they travel.
So another good third row vehicle, and one that's usable, but it's basically a 7-passenger third row vehicle, is the Dodge Durango. And one of the attractive things about the Durango right now is the amount of money back on that vehicle also. Because Fiat Chrysler has some huge, huge rebates on the car. So if you need a third row car and you maybe are a little upside down, you owe a little more on your car than it's worth, the Durango may be a good choice for you. Now, 2 adults can fit in the third row, but you don't want to hang out back there for like a trip to Houston.
No.
Yeah. It's you can fit back there. It might be fine for going to dinner if you want to put somebody back there, but long trips, probably not.
Salad.
Okay, so
fold yourself in half after that.
Yeah, the Ford Expedition, that is it's sort of the Ford Chevrolet Suburban, and even the regular Expedition has a roomy third row, which do fold into the floor, and you can seat 3 adults back there. And if you need even more room, they've got the Expedition EL. That's where you've got the third row, and you've got storage room behind that. It's the extra length edition.
And even though that Ford Expedition has the third row in it automatically, without going with the extended length, you have no space at all behind that third row seat. So I consider it a Tahoe with a third row seat.
That's sort of what it is. Mm-hmm. That's sort of what it is. Okay, now here's the key, the one that I think probably is the most practical of all of these, and I've got a good reason. Both of my kids drive these, and that's the Honda Odyssey. And it is, in fact, a true 8-passenger seating with comfortable rows in the second and third row. And the third row, the thing I like about the Odyssey is they've got that split bench in the back, and you can actually fold one of those seats down to get it out of the way. Mm-hmm. It's really handy.
The Lincoln Navigator?
Yeah.
It's a fancy Expedition.
It is, and has all the same features and does all the same things.
So
now,
next.
The next one is a little bit different in price range. It's the Mercedes-Benz GL SUV. It is one of the few third rows that you can actually get a turbo diesel in, and I bet they don't try to beat the EPA on those.
Who knows? They may just haven't been caught yet.
There's room in the third row for 2 adults in a GL. So it's a very nice vehicle, nice way to go.
But they are made of unobtainium.
They are. They're hard to get a hold of. Used, they're a good buy, though.
Pre-owned. You can find one.
Yep. Next is the Nissan Quest. You can put 3 adults in the third row of the Quest, and the seats do recline. I'm not as high on that car as I am some of the others.
But it's available.
It is available. The next is the Toyota Sienna. Mm. It is the Toyota Odyssey for me. I mean, it does all the right stuff. And the 8th seat cleverly stores away in the back when it isn't being used. It sits in the center row. So
it's an odd deal, but you can store it.
You can store it away, and it gives you the seating you want. Now, here's what you probably don't want to do if you need a third row. A Land Rover, Range Rover Sport.
Just too cramped and difficult to access.
Yeah. I mean, they've got it, but you can't get there. You have to crawl over the seat from the back.
Right.
Yeah. And then finally, the Kia Sorento. And the Kia Sorento has got third row seats, but the headroom is very, very cramped. The floor and the cushion sit very close to one another, so your knees are sort of up in your face. And the seats are like bolt upright. You sit in them and there's no lean back. I mean, you're sitting super straight up. Again, that is not a vehicle that I would consider if I was looking for a third row.
So let me tell you the easy thing when you come to AutoFlex and let's say you have a need. I want a three row vehicle. I need to be able to carry 7 or 8 passengers around. This is my budget. Here's my trade-in. I owe this, and apparently it's only worth that. How can I get what I need for the budget? And that's where we come in. We solve that issue. We solve that problem since we deal with all makes and models, and we have this amazing program that gives us all of the information for every possible rebate you could qualify for, even the secret money that nobody tells you about. And then we run it through all the different, algorithms, basically, to find the very best lease or flex buy or retail purchase payment that makes sense for you based on your driving habits and your family's needs.
A lot of AutoFlex leasing fantasts coming in now. I'm not sure why. Pardon me. I'm not sure how.
I'm not sure why they're coming in.
Yeah, I am sure. I'm not sure how, but my wife's Ford Explorer holds 7 adults with lots of room. Never thought I would buy a Ford. Laugh out loud. At one point in time, the Explorer was our number one lease car. We leased more Explorers than we did any one car. I think they're great cars.
They weren't on this story. These weren't our opinions. They were written by somebody else, but
yes.
We do like the Explorer.
No, I like the Explorer a lot. This is an AutoFlex leasing fan text from a customer who got a Yukon from us. It needs some repairs. I can't tell you on the air without seeing it. It's sort of like, okay, back it up to the phone and race the engine, you know? So if you would, call me on the office on Monday, and I'll be glad to take a look at it.
Oh, what about the Toyota Highlander? You know what? I would have thrown that one into that list. Absolutely.
Yes.
I love that vehicle. What's really cool about this 2015 model is the outside looks really sporty. And when you get inside, it is so open and roomy feeling. I would almost say cavernous. It is almost like a minivan inside. It's a win for me.
Artful.
And the new Honda Pilot will hold 2 6-foot adults in the back.
Exactly. Yeah, well, and we've got a Pilot Pilot owner that has texted in to let us know that. So that's good. I like the Highlander a lot. The Highlander is like, it's an SUV on the outside, and it's basically a minivan on the inside. Did you just say that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, very good. I was reading.
Well, that was one of those that I test drove whenever I was looking for my car, and I really, really liked the vehicle. It was just more space than I needed for me and the dogs.
All right. Moving now on to battery prices, and this is an interesting story because electric cars, EVs, are always in the news. They're in the news right now. And the battery prices for these cars has been the thing that's kept them from being affordable. You know, famously, Sergio Marchionne came out and said, you know, we build a Fiat 500e. Please don't buy it because we lose $10,000 every time you buy one of those cars. Now, first of all, why would a manufacturer build cars that they know they will lose money on? Here's why. They have to. There are certain states, California specifically, and in the United States in another way, that requires you have a corporate average fuel economy of X. There's a number there. And if your entire line across the line can generate an average mile per gallon of X amount, then you're okay with them. The only way to get that is to build some EVs because they don't have any emissions. So you get tremendous credits by building these EVs. But the cost of the batteries has been phenomenal. Right now, you know, right now they're $1,000 per kilowatt hour for a car battery. So that's why they can lose $10,000 when they build a Fiat 500e.
So it's $1,000 per kilowatt hour. That's like almost like a it's hard to break down how they're basing that price. So based on how many kilowatt hours it puts out, that's the price of the battery?
That's exactly right. And the size of the battery.
Easy for me to think through.
Exactly. So, but now there are people that are saying that they're going to be able to deliver a battery of about $400 per kilowatt hour. And Audi's R&D chief this last week came out and said that they expect to be able to build batteries for $200 per kilowatt hour. And maybe even $100 per kilowatt hour by the end of the decade. That will radically change the cost of an electric car.
Wow. Now, all technology gets cheaper over time.
It does. It does. Now, here's the other thing. They can increase the range of the cars by building more efficient batteries. And that's been the big holdup for a lot of people. It's according, I mean, you can drive an electric car, but you can't take it on vacation. You can't. If you want to drive it to Houston, you'll have what's called anxiety range before you before you get there.
It could never be a courier car or a taxi.
No. Well, and so, and here's the other interesting thing. We were approached by Tesla to put charging stations in at Autoflex. Now, I thought about that, and we may do it because it's a neat thing to do, and it's a nice place to have people charge their electric vehicles, but it takes a while to charge a vehicle. Now, I can sort of see why they have them in malls, because people leave and they plug their car in and they walk off. And it costs us nothing to put one in, but I'm not worried. I'm a little concerned about the practicality of you're just going to have some cars sitting there. What do those folks do? I mean, they can come in and visit with us.
No, I don't have time to chat.
I'm just saying.
My boss works me hard. No, I don't. Yeah, you're right. There's not anything else we can offer other than the fact that they can come in and shop for another vehicle. But, yeah, that would kind of be interesting just to have it.
Well, and it, here's the thing. They actually pay for everything. They pay for the installation. They pay for the electricity. They pay for everything.
We're right there on the highway.
And we're right there on 75, just south of also Beltline and Richardson, easy for me to say. And also on I-20, just west of the Parks Mall. So it's a great location to have charging stations. So, hey, text in if you would like Autoflex to put in charging stations. Because, I mean, we've been offered the opportunity to do it. It costs us nothing. Couple of parking spaces, that's easy. So text in if you think that would be a good idea. And let us know what you'll do while your car is charging at Autoflex. We're about to take a break. We'll be right back.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Good morning and welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. If you'd like to call in on the air and join us, it's 877-881-1053, or you can text us your opinion at the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 43733. If you're in the market for a car, no better place to call than
Autoflex Leasing at 972 or 817-234-1234 or autoflex.com on the web.
All right, well, we got a ton of Autoflex Leasing fan text, so let's go through these really quickly. The Nissan Leaf charges in 15 to 30 minutes on a 480 DC current. I'd be interested in knowing if all electric cars charge on the same plug. Because I know that Teslas have a charging station they put in with a plug on it. Nissan has a charging station it puts in with a plug on it. Are they standardized?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
I can't imagine they would be.
Okay. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Hey guys, I see a $10,000 or $15,000 discount on new GMC Sierras. Any discount on the new Yukons? That is a that's a really good question, and for a couple of reasons. The same discounts are probably available for any like model car, pretty close to being the same. But when you see $15,000 off, you have to realize that that involves all of the discounts that you might qualify for.
Just like I mentioned before on our. Because we have this great program that tells us all of the rebates.
And exactly.
Click the ones that actually apply.
But there's a, and we'll do the story in a bit, but there's a story on an automobile dealer that's been fined $80,000 for running ads that don't fully explain what you have to be able to do to qualify to get that $15,000 off. And it may be that you can't get that unless you're a dairy farmer or you're a member of a construction companies,
and
labor
you're
union.
Trading in a particular model.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah. So it's just, you have to read the fine print. Unfortunately, they flash it on the screen for 2 seconds, so you can't really. Hey, call Autoflex. We'll dispel all the myths. We'll be the car myth busters.
We, in fact, are. We are. Okay, so let's talk about the seven car hacks that can change your life.
All right, David.
And if you wanted to do the is to see these in live video, you can go to Autoflex Leasing's Facebook page, and we have the videos up of these. But I thought these were really cool and very, very simple and easy to do. First of all, is your trunk a mess? Is it full of stuff?
Is your trunk full of junk?
Yeah. So you can take, this is great, a laundry basket. And you can put everything in the laundry basket, and it will store over to one side of your trunk, your polish shoes, your polishing rags, your jumper cables, whatever you keep in your trunk. A large plastic laundry basket will hold it. Put it in the laundry basket, keep it out of the way, and keep it neat. Okay?
Cheap enough, too.
You need a trash holder for your car. Everyone does. Everyone needs a trash holder. Cereal containers, the large plastic cereal containers with the round top that snaps off and on,
yeah,
and the big top. You put a trash bag, a bottom of a trash bag in there, seal it up with the top on there. You can open the little round top. You can stuff all your trash in there, and it keeps it all in one place.
I just hang one of those little grocery plastic bags for my gear shift knob, and that's my trash bag.
Well, this is a little neater than that, but that works too, by golly. Okay, so are your headlights foggy looking? Have they oxidized? Simplest thing in the world, toothpaste and a toothbrush. Put the toothpaste on the toothbrush, scrub in a circular motion, scrub your entire headlight, and then take a damp cloth and wipe it off. Guess what? Fog's gone.
For real?
For real. Works like a champ.
Why?
Because toothpaste is abrasive.
Right.
And so it polishes them smooth again.
Huh.
The oxidation is just a roughness of the surface. When you polish them smooth, they're clean again. They're clear. Okay. Scuffs on the outside of your car. Now, this won't cure paint chips, but if you've got scuffs on the outside of your car, guess what? Toothpaste will do it again. Toothpaste is a mild abrasive. You can put some on a cloth, scrub the rough place, wipe it off, and the scuff will be gone.
Hmm.
I like this one. Backseat pockets. Everybody's got junk in their car they like to organize, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get a shoe organizer, one of those plastic shoe organizers that hangs. Get a couple of zip ties, hang it around the base of your headrest, the two base, and hang the shoe rack behind your driver's seat. It's got all those pockets that you can put stuff in.
Huh.
So it gets it up off the floor and gets it organized. I thought that was really, really cool. A shoe organizer and zip ties. Okay. Dash of your car is all dry looking. Interior pieces all dry looking. Olive oil. Don't go out and buy some expensive treatment.
Not Armor All?
Any expensive treatment. Try olive oil because olive oil works. It does the same thing. Wipe it on and then take a clean cloth, clean off the excess, and it looks great. The other thing is if you're...
And then you don't also have the smell coming
exactly.
off. Some people can't take those chemicals.
Yep. And what if your radio dial is foggy? Again, you know the plastic over your radio?
Yeah.
Olive oil again. Clears it right up.
Why?
WD-40 works for that also. So
yeah,
one of the
smells.
Many uses of WD-40. Finally, do you have one of those shades that you put over your windshield and you
yeah.
never know where to put that? Go get a bungee net, just a small bungee net, and you can use the rear coat holders and the front bases for your windshield visors, and you can put that bungee net up against your roof. And when you're not using your windshield shade, just slide it in the bungee net. It holds it above your head.
Just
I thought
like
that
in
was
the
cool.
garage when you
yes.
have those things. That, okay. Y'all can't see me, what I'm doing there. But in case you put shelves on the roof line of your garage to hold all your junk from your garage, that's kind of the same thing. Very interesting. Thank you, David. Now, for those people who want to be organized and get all the junk off their floorboards and into the trunk, use that laundry basket or the shoe organizer. That was really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it works.
So what about crazy car accessories?
You know, you brought this up yesterday, and there are some absolutely... Well, tell us about the one that you
Well, what
you
really got me started
about.
Was somebody had posted on my Facebook this rhinestone-covered, well, it looked like a diamond-covered car. It turns out there are car decals made of Swarovski crystals that you can cover your entire car. You could just do the steering wheel. You could do your gear shift knob, but you can really sparkle and bling that car out. So as we were talking about that, then David looked into other odd car accessories, and you wouldn't believe some of the things that have come out over the past 100 years, and you can find those in the J.C. Whitney catalogs. But a lot of this stuff comes from the 50s and 60s.
Because which makes it fun.
It does make it fun. Crazy car accessories now are all about technology, but back then, they wanted you to be able to make breakfast, shave your legs, just crazy things.
Okay, so if you want music when you open your car door, J.C. Whitney sold a chime, a music chime for your car door. So when you open the door, it would play Ave Maria. It would play all kinds of lovely, lovely songs that you could listen to when your car door. Let me call you sweetheart.
I'm not sure why. Just
the anniversary waltz.
Just while the door was open. And when you closed the door,
it stopped.
It was like turning your car into a music box.
Okay, now I actually saw these. Fuzzy car muffs. People actually used to put these on there. They had fuzzy little things that went around your rearview mirror. They had fuzzy things that went around your steering wheel or your sun visors.
They still have these things.
Fuzzy car muffs. We talked about this on the air a while back. A record player for your car actually was factory equipment from Chrysler in the 60s. They had a record player that installed underneath the dash of your car, and you could play 45s in there.
A dashboard record player.
Exactly.
As long as your car had a radio. Because it had to have speakers.
It did. It did. And for that record player, you could buy racing records. You could buy records that were recorded by Carroll Shelby or Sterling Moss and listen to races while you drove your car. Here's a precursor of the future. They sold a radio car phone for $169. You could get all of the components to make your car a moving radio station. That way you could communicate with other people that had a moving radio station installed in their cars.
Yes, but the antenna had a range of 10 miles.
It did.
So
you couldn't be
far
away. Okay, so if you said the word gyroscopic, it was cool for everything back in the 50s, right? J.C. Whitney sold gyroscopic stabilizers for your tires and wheels. It said it automatically balanced them and improved the wear of the tires.
Were those just like the weights that they put on now whenever they're doing the balance?
Yeah, I don't know. The picture, they're sort of round and they went on behind the wheel, so it's sort of weird looking. Okay.
Sounds like snake oil to me.
If you don't want to have to reach over and push the button or turn the dial, they made a foot switch for your radio, so you could push your foot down and it would change stations for you.
It looks a lot like the old dimmer switch.
It does, in fact.
This one kills me. A duplex left foot accelerator.
So if you get tired of driving, pushing the accelerator,
right foot gets tired.
You can push it with your left foot?
It attached to the right accelerator. It attached to your accelerator. You just screwed it on and tightened it up, but it had a little, a little bar and then another foot pedal that you could use your left foot and rest your right foot. I guess shortly after that, they came out with cruise control.
Yeah.
In the car, coffee maker
there
kit.
There you go.
Seriously, they didn't have Starbucks back there, ladies and gentlemen. It makes coffee in the car, home, or motel. Operates on 12 volts or 115 volts, so maybe Tesla wants to look into adding that to their car. And it came complete with everything but the coffee, and it would serve up to 4 people.
All right, and finally, Winky and Friends, and I actually saw these way back when. These were like stuffed animals that you put in your back package tray, and when you turned your turn signal on, if you were turning the right turn signal on, their little right eye would blink red. And if you turned your left turn signal on, their left eye would blink red. And when you put your brakes on, both of their eyes would glow. You could buy those for $6.95 each, by golly.
Just obscure. I'd like to know if any of you guys have run into any crazy car accessories, or maybe you have some. So tell us about it.
Call in Texas. At the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, 43733. Give us a call on the air, 877-881-1053. The Autoflex Leasing Saturday Morning Test Drive. We'll be back in just a moment.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
And we're back with the Saturday Morning Test Drive right here on 105.3 The Fan. You can join us on the air by calling in 877-881-1053, or you can text into the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text at 43733, and the fan text is going crazy. I want to thank
Loco.
Sergeant Loco, yeah, because it's a really good suggestion. He says you can also use laundry baskets to in the tub for a toddler. It keeps them from slipping under the water.
Thanks, Loco.
That's
that
really,
was
really
one
good.
Of the very few texts we could read of yours.
Also, another fan text, make sure when you're using toothpaste on your headlights that it's toothpaste made for dentures because it's less grainy.
And let me take you back to why you would use toothpaste on your headlights in case they're foggy. If your headlights have fogged up, that's what will polish the what do you call it, oxidation?
It will polish the oxidation off.
Okay.
It's caused by the gamma rays.
Ah, gamma rays.
Yeah.
Which are getting through because we're polluting the air, Volkswagen and Audi.
It's like the gyroscopic word. You can just use it and it sounds great. Okay, so we did have a fan texter text in. Jeff and Keller wants to know about buying a vehicle with a salvage title. And that's a really good question, and here's why. Vehicles with salvage titles are worth about half what they would be if they didn't have a salvage title. And that's pretty well no matter what the condition or miles.
Right.
You can pretty well cut the value in half for buying a salvage titled vehicle. Personally, I would never do that because when you go to resell it, you're going to get zapped.
Very
really
few people will want it. And here's the thing. How do you know they put it together right? It's been salvaged. This thing was supposed to go to the scrapyard. They bought it, put it back together again. So,
or maybe it's worse than that. Maybe it was underwater.
Yeah.
And all of the electronics in the car have now begun to oxidize to rust, and they will start to fail one by one.
There you go. So not a great idea.
Okay, so we're being joined in studio by Mike Dingus and KT.
Hey.
KT Fun Tweets.
What's
up? Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
It is a good morning.
It's a beautiful day outside.
It's rainy.
No, it's still beautiful. It's
sprinkled a little bit. I don't know if that's rain or not.
Well, it was rainy earlier.
Well, rain's good, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't make it beautiful. I always disagree with anybody that says that they enjoy the rain.
You disagree with me a lot.
You're just a disagreeable sort.
That's a good point by KT.
Well, what do you guys think? We were going to talk about some undervalued retro cars that are suddenly skyrocketing value. I'd like to know if you would like to have any of these cars.
Yeah, all right.
Okay,
okay. So the number one car, and this is a bit of a stretch because it's a Lamborghini Countach. The Countach was made between...
I did not know how to pronounce that word.
Yeah, most people say Countach.
It's a
Countach. And it's made in 74 to 90. And now it sounds a little weird to think that this car has been undervalued and now it's skyrocketed in price. But if you go back to the early 2000s, you could buy this car for $100,000. Now, and it's a Lamborghini. Now, this car could go for $300,000 or all the way up to $1 million according to condition.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll take that one.
Should have bought that one for 100 Jeezels.
Put my pennies aside.
Here's the one I really liked, and I think Tammy's dad had one of these at one time, the Pontiac Trans Am, 77 through 79.
My dad had that.
Oh, did he really?
Did he?
Did they have the gold eagle on the hood?
Yes.
Okay.
Good God, there it is.
Yeah. So if you were looking for that car in the early 2000s, you could own one for less than $10,000. They're going for anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000 now, according to condition.
Unreal.
Is that crazy?
Smokey
and the Bandits had a lot to do with that car being really popular.
Of course.
Okay.
The 1988 BMW M5.
Yeah, and they only came in one color, black with tan interior, and there weren't that many of them made. And again, if you go back to the early 2000s, you could buy a nice low mileage one for less than $20,000. Now, $100,000.
What?
Yeah.
You said 1988?
It's not a very attractive car, Tammy.
Which one?
The one you
BMW
did,
M5.
The 88 BMW M5.
It's just that it's a rare car.
Rare.
Yeah. Okay, here's the one I really like, though. The Toyota FJ40, the little Land Cruisers that they made to compete with the Jeep Wranglers. And again, you go back a few years, you could buy one for almost nothing. Now, $20,000 to $40,000. In fact, if you've got a pristine one, it'll go for $100,000 at auction.
I have a neighbor that has something like that. I wonder if he knows what he's got.
This is my favorite of the group so far. I'm a Jeep fan. That's why I really want my next car to be a Jeep.
Well, and there's no reason you can't have a Jeep. Let me tell you how easy it is. Give us a call at either 817. Okay, here we go.
I just finished, I paid off my 09 Civic, so it's about to just fall apart. I'm going to need a new one.
Okay, so here's the whole deal.
6-year lease.
I told a customer this yesterday. It's the American thing to trade. Your car's paid off.
Yes. You've got to keep your money
I feel like
circulating.
6 months of no car payment, then I'll get rid of it.
All right. We'll be waiting for you.
All right. Okay. Thanks, JP.
Get that Jeep.
Okay. Here's another one. The Porsche 911, the 65 to the 98, that body style has really, really grown in value. In 2008, you could pick up one for $8,000, maybe $13,000, those cars, $20,000 to $25,000, all the way up to $30,000 right now.
I want to go back to say, okay, that was pre-1998. Okay.
Yeah.
For that car. And in 2008, you could buy anything cheap because nobody was buying.
Well, and here's the other thing. A lot of collectible cars got dirt cheap in 2008, 2009. Yeah. So I like this one a lot just because it's the same Ferrari that Christie Brinkley drove in National Lampoon's Vacation. It was the red Ferrari, 308 GTB GTS. Those cars you could get at one time back in 2011 for under $40,000. Now, $45,000 and up to $120,000, all the way up to $120,000
wow.
Now. I had a friend that's dad drove one of these, Mercedes-Benz 280 SL. That was the 68 to the 71. It's the very small two-seater with the liftoff hardtop. That car in 2011 ranged from $40,000 to $85,000, according to condition. Now those are $80,000. To $150,000.
That's how much it costs to buy a new one.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the other one. This is the sleeper. The 66 through 77 Ford Bronco.
I would never have doubted that, though.
The little Ford Bronco with a liftoff roof.
Yeah.
A lot of them were painted blue.
Wait,
or
the
turquoise.
The small one or the big one?
The small one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I missed that.
Yeah, and my uncle had one of those as a kid, and always loved just going for a ride in that thing.
Exactly.
It's pretty awesome.
So a few years ago, you could pick one up for about $10,000, $15,000, $40,000 now.
Wow.
It's a collector's item.
Porsche 928.
Yeah, now that's a really cool car.
The 78 through 95.
I remember when the car came out. It had tons of power. It was a beautiful car. They did drop in value. In fact, you could find a decent car for under $10,000 if you go back a few years. Now, those cars are in the six-figure area. It's crazy. And finally, my favorite car maybe of all time, the Acura NSX. If you'd ever driven one, you'd understand why. It was a Ferrari, except it was made by Honda. Maybe the smoothest driving car I've ever seen. At one point in time, you could snap one up for about $30,000. Now, 40 to 60 for any one of them that's on the street. And mainly because of the new one coming out, they're building the NSX again. And so there's a lot of interest in the old ones. That's a fabulous car.
Well, you know why I call it a screamer, don't you? If you're not driving it, if you're in the passenger seat, you're going to be screaming. They're fast. And you don't feel like you have control.
It's kind of whip you around a little bit in the front seat.
Well, thank goodness like we have that. You guys here to bring us out. What
Autoflex Leasing fan text. Buying a car with a salvage title is actually not that bad of a deal if you know what you're doing. Please don't text in unless you know what you're doing. Thank you. Don't buy a car with a salvage title, ever. Unless, if you can buy it and you're going to drive it until it dies and you don't expect to get a dime out of it at any time, then it's all right.
Right.
Because you're buying it dirt, dirt cheap. But you're not going to get anything for it when you sell it.
Right.
Yep.
And the cost of a car isn't just what you pay for it. It's what you get for it later
that's
on
right.
when you want to sell it. So, yeah, I was the Bronco 2, that's the small one or the Bronco 2 is the big one?
The Bronco 2 is a newer one.
All right, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that big Bronco that you could take the top off of, that one.
Yeah, Mike, you into a Bronco instead of a Jeep?
No, I want a Jeep.
Oh, just a Jeep, okay.
He
the
needs
Bronco's
a Wrangler.
Nice, but like, I like the Jeep more.
You're yeah. talking about the Wrangler, right?
Yeah.
Because they make a bunch of stuff.
They're talking yeah. about making a Jeep Wrangler truck.
Oh, wow. Oh, my yep. brother's so in on that.
No, I like the idea of the back seat. So you're like in that situation, is it like an extended cab with a truck behind, like the bed behind it?
I think it would be.
They're going to extend the bed just a little bit. They're extending the frame and putting a small bed. Not a big bed, but a small bed.
See,
very functional.
I'm a big fan of the Jeep, but I'm not a big fan of the oversized truck.
Right.
Like if I had a truck, I wouldn't want the extended cab. So I'm not like looking for a family truck.
Yeah,
you
understand.
Probably well, wouldn't even want.
You
the
still
unlimited.
Got storage room in a Wrangler. It works.
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't. I don't know. The unlimited is extended. It has 4-door and some storage behind, and then there's the regular 2-door Jeep Wrangler. Which one?
That's my winner.
That is
it. I just want the regular Wrangler with as much souped up stuff as I can get on it.
All right.
Well, what's coming up for y'all today besides the Sooners are playing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be talking OU football from 10 to 10.
No, we're not.
We're not talking OU football.
Yes, you are.
We might get into them a little bit. They got a good running back. But at 10 o'clock, the first place Texas Rangers. At 10:15, the first place Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
And at 12:15, I'm going to tell you how weird it got at the Garth Brooks concert last night.
Okay. All right. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to doing some bird hunting on Sunday.
Oh, fun.
Oh,
the Eagles.
The
show.
Eagles?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, "Who? Huh?
I'm the girl." Season already.
All right, that was a Saturday morning test drive. We'll be back next Saturday, hopefully with Sybil with us. We've enjoyed it. Y'all have a great week.